what an awesome spirit of God is in this place. In spite of the many challenges and obstacles and difficulties, and wherever you go, you will find that. Like I always say, there is no Trinidad devil and there is no American devil. It's the same old devil. And the only thing that I'm a bit, you know, about him, good about him, he don't have to get a visa to go anywhere. he could appear here in Trinidad and America at the same place. But I'm so glad to be with you. You know, some people, when they hear about the house of God, they get sad. Some people get bad. Some people get mad. But I am glad because I came from the warm, warm, warm tropical island of Trinidad. I said I must tease you a little bit. Coming from 90 degrees, you must understand what I'm facing. But bless the Lord. Amen. I am chosen, and therefore I am not frozen. I am cold, but yet I am bold. Since we are in the Thanksgiving spirit, let me give you just quick and briefly a praise report. We give God praise and thanks for what he is doing, and especially in the island of Trinidad, you know, and I am saying this not to blow a trumpet, but I feel obligated to give you this report because you are part and parcel of what we are doing in Trinidad. This year, in spite of the ups and downs, we were privileged to give out meals to over 1,000 people. Oh, nice. And not only just give out the physical food, but the spiritual food as well. And we are running out to 150 every Sunday morning. We have seen a lot of Hindus, a lot of Muslims, a lot of young people coming to know the Lord. And there are a lot of people saying, Brother Harry, how long would you continue like that? You know, I'm at a threshold of 53 years of ministry. Wow. It is not that I'm that old. I started young. You know, oftentimes, and I always say, Brother Dave, when people see the gray hair, they size you up. And according to our culture, they feel you're washed up, you're all gone, and you cannot do what you used to do. And like I mentioned to you, I became a bit concerned about that as well. So I made a prayer. I said, Lord, I pray as I go along the way, as my hair get gray, don't let it fall, let it stay. You know, I like to rhyme. And I said, I put a little glitch to it. I said, Lord, even though I get bald, I will still fulfill my call. So we thank God for what he is doing. And this year, even though I'm pastoring the church and doing a lot of social work, especially a lot of children, already visited and preached in 45 different churches. Wow. He said, Brother Harry, is there so many churches? Oh, gosh. Look, in Trinidad, everywhere you turn, there are at least three things in abundance. You find a Chinese restaurant every corner. One corner you have Hong One, next corner Hong Two, and you go on. You know, and then you find a pharmacy everywhere selling drugs. But if you eat the Chinese food and they don't agree with you, you can run to the pharmacy and get a tablet to bring a measure of release. And if the tablet don't work and you happen to pass away, there's always a church to give you a decent funeral. Every corner, there is one as well. But I'm glad to be involved in the work of God. And I just give God praise and I give God thanks. There is so much to do. And, you know, I really appreciate when I come here, I do not come as a guest. I do not come as a visitor. I'm coming as a part of the family. Amen. As many of you know, I'm no completely person here. Amen. I was thinking, coming to this area about 27 years now. And hey, long before you come here, you know, I know you all. And John and everyone. So I come as part of the family. All right. I will be here until Friday. I'm heading back. All right. And I got a lot of work to do there. And what I'm doing, I'm passing the mantle on. And this is not to be scared, all right? It's not that I'm going to die tomorrow, Sue. But, you know, I found out that I passed my tree score on 10 a long time ago. I will not always be here. Somebody got to carry on the work until Jesus comes. So what I'm doing, I'm going to a lot of the small churches, raising up a lot of young preachers. I'm not the overseer. I'm not the bishop. No strings attached. I just want to deposit in the lives of young people. And so I'm going to these churches, and there are a lot of small churches doing great work, but the spotlight is not upon them. So I'm going and putting structure and order and helping them to move on. And they are doing a tremendous job, tremendous job. So I want you to keep praying for me in that area. All right. I'm going to just read a couple portion of familiar scripture this morning. And you know, the spirit of thanksgiving is in the air. We can feel it wherever you go. Hence the reason there are a lot of people making preparation, because they want that day to be a great day. So there are two portions of scripture I want to direct your attention to complement the message that God has laid upon my heart. I'm going to have special prayer in the end, pray for you, and also give you an opportunity to pray for me as well. Look at Psalm 92, and this is a very popular psalm in relation to thanksgiving. All right, let me just put this here. In relation to thanksgiving. If there was one man who knew the attitude of expressing gratitude, was King David. In spite of his many challenges, and he did have challenges, no matter how high you go, no matter how big you are, you're not exempted from challenges. Challenges comes in different areas and in different forms. If it do not come in your marriage, it come in your health, it come in your finance, and in some way or the other, it will come. The Bible tells us many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who are the righteous? Not the drug addicts or those who are living ungodly life, but we are the righteous, because we are made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. And if we do not get complete delivery out of them all, he will give us the grace to go through. So in the end, we will not be victims, but we will be victors. In the end, we will not be conquered, but we will be conquerors. So David knew the importance of thanksgiving. He had many challenges. His own son was against him. The enemies, if you read, always was on his heel to dethrone him so he can change his focus. But in spite of everything, he knew the importance of giving thanks. And so he said in Psalm 92, all right, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Oh, that's Psalm 91. He said, it is a good thing, amen, and we believe in doing good. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And then in Psalm 100, let's go to 100, it says, shout. A meaningful shout, not an ungodly shout, but a shout with substance. A shout that is directed to the Most Holy God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness in spite of the circumstances. That even though when your back is against the wall and your heart is filled with sorrow and tears flowing from your eyes, one problem is not yet solved. Another one is present. It says here, shout, amen. Serve him with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, go in with freedom, without limitation, and enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to use a little subject as a guideline. I always use that. Giving thanks to advance. When I talk about advance, I am referring to a higher standard, a higher measure of living. God do not want us to be stagnant. He wants us to advance. He do not want us to be in one place. He wants us to go forward. If you have a little baby, you do not want that baby to be stagnant. If that baby is not growing, if that baby is not advancing, it is a matter of concern, because you do not want to take care of a baby like a baby the rest of his or her life, because you know how expensive it is to take care of a baby, all right? Every moment is some kind of milk, but you're glad when they can grow up and just give them a piece of bread and said, hold that. It saves you some expenses. It is the same way. God do not want us to be stagnant, but God wants us to advance. He wants us to grow, not only to grow in the secular world, but in the spiritual world. We are living in a world today where everything is going up. You agree with me? You go to the food store, the prices that was last week, this week is different. It's not the same, brother, same way in Trinidad. Amen? And if everything in this world is going up, our spiritual life needs to go up as well. Amen? We need to advance in our spiritual life. There's always room for improvement. When we think about giving thanks, from my experience, there's no beginning and there's no end. Because there's so much to give God thanks for. As you know, we are living in a world that is filled today, filled with ungratitude. People are not grateful, ungrateful people today. All right? They highlight on the one mistake. They highlight in one area where there was no success, but they never look at the 99 that God has been good to them. And so people today are reluctant to express the attitude of gratitude. But if we are honest enough, dearly beloved, we can safely come to the conclusion we have more working for us than that which is working against us. Amen. When we sit around the table, we may never have many dishes to choose from. But God never allow us to go hungry. We may never able to put a new suit upon our backs for every occasion, but God has never allow us to walk naked. We thank God for the breath of life today. Amen. What would it profit us to have all the luxuries, all the comfort, and no life to enjoy it? We do not take life for granted. Life is a gift from God. God has given us life because Jesus is the author and the giver of life. Yes. He said, I come to give life and give it more abundantly. God has given us life, not just to make a living and to excel and advance in the secular world and be successful, but God has given us life to live to please him. I have learned many years ago, and even now, a life that is pleasing unto God is a successful life. A life that is pleasing unto God is a meaningful life. And a life that is pleasing unto God is a happy life. But there are so many ungrateful people today. They take a considerable amount of time to highlight on their burdens. They talk about what didn't work for them. They talk about the sickness. They talk about the demotion on their job. And they never take time to highlight the blessings of God. There are a lot of people who take time to talk about their tragedies, but they never take time to talk about their triumphs. There are a lot of people who take a lot of time and they talk about the valleys, but they never remember the mountaintops. There are a lot of people who talk about how they are victims, but they never talk about how they are victors. There are a lot of people who take a lot of time and they talk about the empty, but they never get time to talk about the plenty. God wants us to express the attitude of gratitude. And very quickly, I want to share with you and just let you know, we need to give God thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus. Because too many of us, we take Jesus for granted. There are a lot of people today who just believe that Jesus was just another historical figure. There are a lot of people today who believe that Jesus was just another prophet, and they classify him as just a prophet. They look at him today and they reflect and look back in history and think he was just a miracle worker. But he was more than that. I declare today, bless the name of the Lord, he was more than a prophet. He was more than a historical figure. He was more than a miracle worker. But he was and still is God incarnate. For when Jesus came to the face of the earth, it was God coming in the package of one person called Jesus. Jesus himself said, if any man have seen me, they have seen the Father, for both of us are one. The Apostle Paul, writing in relation to Jesus in the book of Colossians, said all things was created by him, visible as well as invisible. Abraham came long before Jesus, but yet Jesus declared, before Abraham was I am. I am here to declare today without any apology that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He is the beginning, and without him there is no beginning. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Therefore, we need to praise him and we need to honor him. But the sacrifice he made, when he came to the face of the earth, he sacrificed his life. When he was ready to go to the cross, he said, if I want, I could have called 10,000 angels. And that was not impossible. But yet, he sacrificed his life. He gave his life that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. Why he sacrificed his life? The sacrifice on the cross was a demonstration of the penalty, the price paid for our sins. The Bible teaches us we were born in sins and shapen in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no exception. Whether you come from Trinidad, whether you come from India, whether you come from Germany, whether you come from Karlstadt, whether you come from Bayonne, whether you come from Jersey City, whether you be black, whether you be white, whether you be Indian, whether you be Puerto Rican, whether you be whoever you are. You are included in that group. You have sinned and come. We have inherited that sinful nature from our forefathers. Because of Adam and Eve, we have inherited that. And we look around us today and we have seen the danger and the damnation as a result of sin. Sin wrecked the Garden of Eden. Sin took the first king by the name of Saul from the top and brought him down to the ground. And there's a long list of the destruction of sin. Even in this secular world, sin is rampant everywhere. In spite of the progress in the field of science, in technology, sin is still rampant. Sin is destroying many nations. No nation is too great, no man is too big that sin cannot undermine. Sin is destroying many of our husbands and fathers and mothers and wives and children all around us today. Sin is making havoc, destroying many marriages. Look, I've been a marriage officer for 49 years. And sometimes I cannot help but to come to the conclusion. It is love at first sight, wedding in the night, and divorce at first fight. Amen. That's the way it goes. There are visible evidence of what sin is doing today all around us. But thank God, we give him praise. There's good news. Hallelujah. Because there is a cure for sin. There's a remedy for sin. There's a solution for sin. Peter said, we are redeemed. We are brought back to God, not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And because of that sacrifice on the cross, because of the blood that spilled from his vein, hallelujah, there is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. Because of that sacrifice that Jesus made by giving his life, no man has gone too far that God cannot bring back. No man is too dirty that God cannot clean. Hallelujah. He can take you from the gutter and he can take the gutter out of you. He can take you as a nobody and he can make you as a somebody. He can take you as a pauper and make you into a prince. He can take you as a failure and make you into a success. And good news, he can take you ugly and make you good looking. You know my story. I said it so many times. Dave, I was a vagrant, sleeping on benches. And some people, It's hard for some people to believe that when they see the success to a measure, oh, God has blessed me. I used to live at a Salvation Army, night shelter for men, paying a quarter per night. 100 men was living there. Most of them came out from prison who served long sentences. There were over 20 homosexuals, but they couldn't play with me. I was bad in my days. I was involved in 8 major robberies. 3 of the men I was with was executed. I was almost wanted for murder twice. They threw me out. I was 19 years old. Nobody wanted me. I sought refuge in the car park, sleeping on cardboard boxes. Never shower for days. Never shower for days. Actually eaten from bins. Hopeless and helpless. People used to urinate on me. Look, I used to pick up little cigarettes on the ground and smoke. And somebody saw me the other day. And they said, "Brother Harry, you're still smoking?" I said, "No, I get promotion on fire now." And he's smoking again. But then one morning I got up so depressed. And I walk into the marketplace. I said, "Today I'm going to lock somebody in there, Brother Al. Today I'm going to prison. I don't care what the outcome." And as I tiptoed, being curious, I saw a white girl sitting on a stool with a black book in her hand. And she came up to me and focused on me. And she said, "The man with the long hair, Jesus sent me to you." I kept looking back to see which man she was referring to. And Ronnie, when I was convinced she was referring to me, that Jesus sent her to me, she came from America. I said, "Today is my lucky day. Bless God. I didn't shower for days. I didn't have a decent meal. And God sent a white girl from America for me. Today I'm going to marry a white girl and go to America." And it was the first time in many years ever heard somebody love me. She said, "Jesus love you. Come forward. Let me pray." And I said it over and over and over and over. The way I was smelling. Amen. I didn't have to ask for excuse to go forward. Everybody held their nose and they move out the way. I can hear the oohs in the crowd. "Hold your bag." And I knelt on the concrete. I was 19 years old and repeated a short sinner prayer. And when I got up, chains was broken. I was liberated. I was transformed. The yoke of bondage was broken. Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. It was not the white girl, but the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, the shedding of his blood. So what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And because of that sacrifice, bless the Lord, we have salvation today. We are no longer in bondage, but we are free. We may not be the talk of the tongue, the newscaster may not call our name on every newscast. Our picture might not be published on the front line of the New York Times or whatever you have. We may not be able to live in the biggest area with the biggest house and the best car and eat in the finest restaurant, but we can afford to walk with our heads upright because we are no longer in bondage. We are transformed. We are liberated. Our sins are forgiven. Bless the name of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ. The world may look down upon us. The world may criticize us. The world may condemn us. But we can swell our shoulder and raise our head like the Incredible Hulk. And we can walk around and say, "We are free. We are free at last. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And this world is not our final place. But we are heading for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. So we give him thanks for the sacrifice. We give him thanks for the salvation, which is forgiveness of sins. Number 3, we give him thanks because we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Look, in a certain religion, you have to accomplish a certain amount of work, religious work, to be called a saint. I went to India and I met Mother Teresa, you know. I had an audience with her. With her in Calcutta, when I went there, because my grandparents came from there, you can't touch her. You can have an audience with her, you know, and you know, they made her saint in that religion. You have to do a certain amount of work to become a saint. But I want to tell you, when I come into a covenant relationship with Jesus and he forgive me, automatically I became a saint. Hallelujah. So you're looking at a man who is not just Brother Harry, he's Saint Harry. Bless him. I am a saint because I got royal blood flowing in my veins. My big brother is the King of Kings. I may never get an SOS from Queen Elizabeth, regardless of how old she is, to sit on a throne and walk on red carpet and to hear someone blow a trumpet and put a crown on my head. But I can rejoice because I got royal blood flowing in my veins. Bless the name of the Lord. I am not ordinary, but extraordinary, because God, Jesus, is my shepherd and I am his sheep. Bless the name. And because I'm his sheep, he is going to take care of us. Hallelujah. He said, no good thing would he withhold to them that walk uprightly. And in the midst of all our needs and lack, he is able to provide for us. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. You know, when I started this ministry 53 years ago, nobody believed me. Nobody wanted me in this country, in my country, to preach. They will always look back and reflect and say, oh, I was an old thief. I was a drunkard. I reached a stage that I used to drink alcohol with a straw. Never take hold a bottle like that, like you're drinking a soft drink. And people will always look back and reflect. And even people in the church that I was expecting to accept me, they rejected me. But I want to declare today, bless the name of the Lord. I kept on. When I started to preach $9 a week, 14 times a week, people will not give me anything. But you know what is my principle in ministry for all these years? 48 years, I'm full-time. I never held a secular job. I've learned if you take care of God's business, he will take care of your business. If you feed God's people, he will feed your family. For David declared, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. And my God declared, he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He will provide for us. So we give him praise and we give him thanks because we are the sheep of his pasture. He will take care of us. We give him thanks for his sacrifice, for salvation. Because we are his sheep, we give him thanks for his sustaining power. He will sustain us. He will keep us no matter how we stumble. And there are times we will stumble. There are times we are not exempted. You know, I'm one preacher who cannot preach that your back wouldn't hurt you and your head wouldn't hurt you. No. We go through the process like anybody else. You think I could walk in the grocery in my country and pull two trolleys and come to the cashier and pull out a hallelujah card and say, hallelujah! And the cashier will say, oh, go ahead. Go right ahead. Instead of two trolley, take three trolleys. No, I have to pay like anybody else. I cannot go to the filling station and fill my car and say, bless the Lord. I'm evangelist, bishop, doctor, right, Archbishop Harry Ramkison, with all this kind of title. I'll be hearing the police siren coming right behind me. Dave, I have to pay like anybody else. We go through the mill. Don't feel bad. Amen. And don't let the devil put you in the bed of guilt that when situation comes, that there is sin in your life. We will go through the process like anybody else. Look at Jesus, God incarnate, how he suffered. Look how he was humiliated. Look how he was accused wrongfully. They spat upon him. They tug at his beard. And all different things he went through, setting an example that if we are united with him and we are followers with him and we are buried with him and crucified with him, we are not exempted. But I thank God, amen, regardless of how the contrary wind blow, we can still sail. Bless the Lord. Like I always say, that when you trust Jesus, if there's water in your boat, you could still keep afloat. Bless the name of the Lord. You could still climb if the devil right behind. Hallelujah. You could still grow, you could still go, and you could still glow when Jesus is your motto. Bless the name of the Lord. Listen, he will sustain us. He will keep us. He will preserve us. So if you happen to stumble and fall, don't let the devil tell you there's no hope for you. Get up, brush yourself. Amen. Get up and move on again, because he's able to pick you up. He's able to clean you up. He's able to sustain you. His hands are not shortened, but still outstretched. And you know what is so marvelous about Jesus? He's not a Jesus of the past. He's a Jesus of the now. What he did yesterday, he can do today, and he can do tomorrow, because he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And the Bible tells us in relation to him that he's a God that changes not. There are a lot of people today that change. Today they're good, tomorrow they're bad. You just don't know how to deal with people. People are very sensitive today, amen, very delicate. Somebody said there are only three problems in the world. Amen. People, people, and people. Amen. Amen. But no matter what it is, God will keep us. He will sustain us. When you make him your author, he will be your finisher. Hallelujah. Every day will not be a heyday. I want you to know that. Every day the sailing might not be smooth, but he will take you to the finishing line. So I want to close the message. I'm not a long preacher. That's why everybody called me to preach. Look, if I tell you something, I came in Friday night. I stayed over in Queens. I preached in a little black church, about 8 people. A very lady who came and visited Trinidad. We finished 9:30. The preacher I was supposed to night over with was preaching in the next church 30 minutes away. So my ride told me, well, no sense. I go by his house. Nobody will be there. Let's go where the preacher is. We get there 10:15. They were still going on. I was so tired. I got up 4:00 that morning. 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, 11:00. I said, oh God, let them finish quick now. I'm sleepy. 11:30, they were still there. And you know, I'm an hour ahead of you. So if you're 10:30 here, it's 11:30 in Trinidad. It was so tough. It was so rough. Amen. But I say all that to say this. Amen. That I just want to stick to my point. So we give him thanks for what? The opportunity to serve him. What an honor to serve God. If you get an SOS from some high elite person in the country. Amen. No mountain is too high to climb. No road is too long to walk. What an opportunity to serve God. Bless the name of the Lord. No man who serves God is a loser. No matter what position you hold, it's an honor. You know how I started? I used to sleep in the church, you know, when I got converted. I left the Salvation Army. I had nowhere to sleep. I used to come in the church. There was a revival. Sit by a window. And every night, 11:00, prize open my window. And I would sleep on the altar call. Altar there. The last night, the preacher was preaching so long. I said, oh, hurry up, preacher. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling sleepy. Hurry up and get home. Yeah. While sleeping there, it's Saturday morning, the caretakers came and they found me sleeping. And the lady adopted me. I became the janitor of the church. That's how I started. I didn't want to sweep no church. I want to preach. So all when I have the broom sweeping and I see somebody, I'll put it in the back of me here and put it there. And I do like God talking to me. I don't want nobody to see I sweeping, but I have learned whatever opportunity you get to make a contribution for Jesus, every opportunity, it might not be to your expectation and to your liking, but service, accept it as a stepping stone to advancement. Bless the name of the Lord. Nothing too big, nothing too small to do for God. If you get to sweep the church, sweep it. If you get to dust the pew, do it, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. For promotion comes not from the east to the west, but promotion comes from the Lord. A man gift, make it a way for him. And people may not like you, they may despise you, but I use this in a kind of carnal way. When God hire, no man could fire. Bless the name of the Lord. If you are in the will of God, he can take you from the gutter and take you to upper. So thank God for serving him. So I close the message today with a little bonus. Give him praise because he's soon coming. He's soon coming. The signs of the times are already fulfilling before us. This world is not our final place, but we're going to go and be with him. The grave is not our final destiny, and I serve notice to my people. I'm going to 73 now. I can't believe that. I'm looking so good still. And look, and preach 46 different churches. Boy, I don't look like that. But I serve notice. If I happen to die, dig my hole 1,000,000 feet. Put me down there. Put all the cement, all the concrete. But one of these days, I will shout, no grave can hold my body down. I'm going to rise. Bless the name of the Lord. They'll be coming from the east. They'll be coming from the north. Coming from the south. One of these days, we are saying goodbye, world, goodbye. And we're going to go to be with Jesus. You know, I envy those disciples, Dave. I wish I had the opportunity like Peter, James, and John to be with Jesus. I would love to be there and see when he brought Lazarus out of the grave. I would love to be there when he took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and fed so many people. The Bible said, He fed over so many thousands of people apart from children. And you know some children could eat more than big people. Yeah, have four of them. Boy, you give them too long bread like that and two-liter Coke, and they stand up there and they give the impression like they eat for days. Amen. I didn't get the opportunity in the natural. I would have loved to see him on the cross. But one of these mornings, I'm not going to be disappointed. Not only am I going to see him, but I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to rule with him. And I'm going to reign with him. And there will be no part in there. So I say, let's give God thanks in order to advance. Don't be a coward. Let's give thanks and go forward. Let's all pray, stand for prayer. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this morning. Hallelujah. We have plenty to give God thanks for today. I'm not going to express the attitude of gratitude. Little is much when God is in it. There are a lot of people say, I cannot give God thanks because their blessing didn't come in a big dump truck. Their blessing didn't come in a wheelbarrow. Your blessing might come in a little teaspoon, but little is much when God is in it. Because when God is in the arrangements, there are no disappointment. A little with God, amen, godliness with contentment bring great gain. Hallelujah. Let's come around for a little prayer. I'm going to be long. Come on, yes, let's gather together. I want to pray today. We want to lift our voices in spite of the challenges. Amen. You may have health problem. I do have health problem. I don't shame to say I got 2 stents recently, you know, and I have to watch myself. People are saying, you know, my wife passed away. She had a heart attack after 45 years of marriage. Still can't get over it. She woke and sent me to preach. She was there with me. And when you have a good connection, how could you forget that, brother? I have my challenges like anybody else. I have needs like anybody else. But today I want to give thanks. Amen. For when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. Amen. Not everybody will speak well of you. Not every mouth that kiss you. Amen. She will kiss you. Amen. Sometimes the same mouth that kiss you will bite you. Amen. The same people who used to treat you with high esteem, all of a sudden they treat you worse than their doormat. But when God is in control and you have favor. Favor from high that money cannot buy. Are you hearing me? Favor. Favor. Amen. With a Caribbean flavor.